Come at the hour. Come at the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. Good evening, everybody. We are originating from the usual undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity, particularly tonight. Tell you why. In the first hour, yes, David Seaman. He was on with ship's Captain George Norrie on the 16th of May. He's a little bit disappointed in the reaction to some of the things going on out there in the world. It's like, well, who is he? He's an independent journalist and frequent contributor to Business Insider. He's been a lively guest on CNN Headline News, Fox News, ABC News, Digital, and others. He's got a YouTube channel, everything else. And the thing is that some say he was recently censored by a certain large media corporation for posting just a little bit too much truth. And just, well, that's just tough. And then we have Chase Brandon, the CIA man, the secret agent man. His book is The Kryptos Conundrum. He's amazing. 35-year operations officer in the Central Intelligence Agency's clandestine service. Lived undercover for 25 years. Retired from covert assignments in 06, but continues to consult with several intelligence community agencies, the Department of Defense, numerous state and federal law enforcement organizations. He was a senior staff officer for the director of the CIA, serving as agency spokesman and CIA's official liaison to the entertainment industry. And isn't that interesting? So we'll have him for the bulk of the show. But just right there in that same vein, our friend Mr. Jones, Mr. Alex Jones, has some stuff up on InfoWars. And it's about The Dark Knight Rises. It's more than simply escapist entertainment. It implants directives deep within our psyche. In order to be successful, the globalist ruling elite must require a submissive, distractive, and thoroughly brainwashed populace. Is that us? Tyranny must be sold as ever-increasingly repressive security. Blah, 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 blah. So we're going to find out just exactly, we're going to find out everything we can find out, but I suspect that Chase Brandon is not going to tell us anything that he doesn't want to. As that CIA guy in Charlie Wilson's War said, we'll see. Now, I can't resist. I have to give you this because I will not turn loose of it. I will be terrier-like on it, along with 9/11 stuff and anything else that needs to be ratted out to you, the people, and our beloved listeners. And I'm not kidding you either. Japan now allows triple the amount of cesium in food than Chernobyl did. Over 50% of store-bought seafood samples contaminated with radiation. Now, that's a while back. But that's back in 11, you know, 6-7 months ago, a little more. Now, here's one from last month. U.S. seafood provider testing for contamination. Growing concern for potential radiation affecting the nation's seafood. And then during the little Fukushima forum, we had Arne Gunnarsson. And he says, the country of Japan is contaminated. Quote, just routine checking an area here and there in Tokyo found all samples to be radioactive waste. And he said people should never return to some areas 60 kilometers from Fukushima. So it's ongoing and it's strange. The typhoon narrowly missed it. Cat 5, Category 5, was heading for the Fukushima plants. And missed. And so did the tornado. I'm going to leave it at this. It'll be 10 years before cleanup operations can even get started. And a lot can happen in 10 years, as you know. This is disgusting. Sandusky convicted on 45 counts of child sex abuse. Bail revoked. Sizing up Penn State's liability. Could I just say this? Have you ever heard of anything as abominable as this? And can you believe that there was not one man who would step up with a baseball bat and take the swing that really counted? As a matter of fact, this is so, well, one more thing. Sir Richard Branson, squared off at the Rio 20 Earth Summit in Brazil, surrounded by Greenpeace activists. And the whole thing was, Craig Rucker. Ask him, sir, do you support the European carbon tax on your own planes going from the United States to Europe? And Branson said, well, he'd prefer it was an international tax rather than just one area of the world. Well, he was then asked, well, would it be wise for you, Sir Branson, to tax your clients, considering that support for global warming science is eroding worldwide? Over 1,000 scientists, climate scientists, dispute the hypothesis that global warming is man-made. And over 31,000 natural scientists have signed a statement saying there is no convincing evidence that humans are causing catastrophic global warming. Well, Branson just said, well, even if we are mistaken about that global warming thing, I think it's good. We're running out of oil, so we move on to clean fuels as soon as possible. Yes? Well, I'm not really sure we're running out of oil, but somewhere up in the Dakotas, there's a reservoir of oil that's about the size of the entire Middle East. So there you go. Now, back to this other thing, the Sandusky thing. What we're going to talk about tonight with David Seaman is why nobody is outraged about very much. And doesn't it strike you as being just a little bit calm? You go through the news, there are all kinds of news outlets out there, but things are just a little bit quiet right now. And typically, the quiet portends the coming storm. We shall see, and we will return with David Seaman to be followed by Chase Brandon, ex-secret agent man, tonight on Coast to Coast AM. Tonight's topic with David Seaman will be the NDAA and the apathy among the younger generation and support for the establishment, which does not have their best interests in mind. Say, David, you were on just last month, so have you made some progress in determining what are they doing? Are they sucking on lead bars? Is it a continual diet of high fructose corn syrup? Is it LSD, ecstasy, cocaine, speed? What's the matter with everybody?
First of all, thanks a lot for having me on the show tonight. It sounds like such an important show overall, even beyond my segment.
Glad to have you here.
I think the real problem is that we have people who are not quite my age, a little bit younger than me, people who are maybe still in college. We're talking about the millennial generation. And these are people who, they think that because they voted for Obama and, you know, they have an iPhone or whatever, that everything's going well. You know, they have prosperity, they have all the TV they could ever want, they have plenty of entertainment and distraction. But if you look below the surface, things are not going well. Over the past 6 months, we had NDAA, which Obama actually signed into law. This is not speculation, this is not conspiracy theory. The government now has the right, the actual right, as immoral as it may be, to imprison American citizens without trial, without charge, and without access to an attorney, just to abduct you in the middle of the night using military force. This is absolutely real. A federal judge in New York recently issued a temporary injunction to block this. However, her ruling is temporary, and I'm sure there's a tremendous amount of pressure being put upon her to reverse her decision. And above and beyond that, we had SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, a bill in Congress which was being masqueraded as an act to reduce piracy and theft, which really would allow for the wholesale internet censorship of American content. We're talking about an internet that would resemble what China has. China has the Great Firewall of China, where if you discuss certain topics like Tiananmen Square, that content is immediately deleted. It's as if it never happened. And you can get a knock on the door in the middle of the night from government agents telling you.
Well, you know old Tommy Lee Jones, old Tommy Lee Jones in that No Country for Old Men was talking with one of his buddies and says, as soon as you quit hearing sir and ma'am, the rest is soon to follow. Well, if you can jail Americans, arrest them by the use of military force, that's a violation of the Constitution right there. I suppose the rest of it is soon to follow. Now, if they lock down the internet, what happens then, David? I mean, we all know. I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, it's quite scary. You take away somebody's right to a trial and their right to due process, and then you take away their ability to even broadcast what has happened to them to their peers. That's what the internet provides us with. If you don't have freedom of speech, you have nothing left. You're bankrupt as a nation. because certainly the mainstream media, these networks are not covering this stuff at night. You guys are one of the few shows that cover this when I want to get the word out about what's actually happening in the U.S. And for the most part, I very much love this country, but over the past 6 months, it has been total insanity what Congress has been drafting, what Obama has been signing into law. I have to go on Russian TV networks and European TV networks to talk about this stuff, because in the U.S., it does resemble a kind of censorship program. It really does. They're not discussing NDAA. And you have a younger generation that's like, whatever, I voted for Obama, it's no big deal. And it is a big deal. Even if you put aside all of these thefts of our basic rights over the past 6 months, you have an average American household that is 40% less wealthy than it was in 2007. And that's a study that recently came out, and even the AP reported on it. So Americans have been, taken for a ride. Your average person out there listening to your program tonight has lost 40% of their wealth, and perhaps 40% or more of what they're going to earn in their lifetime. That's a pretty major theft. If you start off with $100,000 and somebody walks in and takes away $40,000, that's a lot of money. Americans have lost their standing in the world economic system, and they've lost their rights. And me personally, I don't care if you take away my wealth. I believe in what Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But they're not taking away your basic constitutionally mandated, constitutionally guaranteed rights. And the founding fathers, who were very smart individuals, Thomas Jefferson and Washington and Ben Franklin, they warned against a state where the government just slowly takes more and more power and the people don't care because they're distracted and they have, their basic needs being met. Everybody in America can buy a meal. You can go to McDonald's or you can buy a Coca-Cola. Everybody can meet their basic needs, and you can turn on the TV at night and be entertained. And the founding fathers were very afraid of a state where your basic needs are provided for and your real rights, what really keeps you alive, what keeps your soul alive, your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion, those things will be taken away from you. And that has actually happened over the past 6 months. So it's extremely troubling. I'm honored to be covering this stuff, but it's a lonely circle. Pretty much people in journalism who want to keep their jobs are not covering this because there is absolutely some kind of gag order within the mainstream media.
Oh, that's great. Well, if you don't mind my indiscreet question, hopefully your answer will be even less discreet. How have you been somewhat recently, well, maybe not even somewhat, how have you been censored recently for exposing a little bit too much truth? And are you at liberty to say who did the censoring?
I prefer not to say the company because they're a multi-billion-dollar company who will just sue me for the sake of suing me. But I posted a comment on one of the big news networks, one of the big three, asking, why aren't you guys covering SOPA? Why aren't you guys covering NDAA? And this is in response to a post about something totally ludicrous, some article about Kim Kardashian or something. And I said, this is what you should be covering. This is what you should be spending your resources on. Your viewers and your readers demand it. And they immediately deleted my comment. And I actually took a screen grab of my comment before they deleted it, so I had proof that they removed it. And then I started saying, why did you delete this? Was this what was the reason for this? It's clearly not spam. It's clearly not a violation of your terms of service. I think you just don't want other viewers saying, you're not covering this. And they really kind of, they went after me. And they claimed that I was a spammer, and I had been spamming all of their articles throughout the whole week, which was a blatant lie. And I challenged them to produce any kind of evidence in court or otherwise. And then they just went totally silent after that because they had no evidence. It was made up. The fact is that the major news networks in the U.S. are no longer covering news. They're covering entertainment stories, which I don't have a problem with. Like, people need to be entertained. There's a time and a place for learning about what's happening to Brad Pitt or Angelina Jolie or any of these people. A life without entertainment is a pretty miserable life. But when you're a news network, you have an obligation to report the news. And there has been a scary theft of power that has occurred over the past 6 months, where Congress thinks it's okay. And by the way, this is a bipartisan effort, Democrats and Republicans. Take away your right to a trial, your right to speak your mind. These are absolutely basic aspects of American democracy. Without these things, we're not too far away from becoming Iran or from becoming China. It's such a slippery slope, and we're headed down that slope so fast, and nobody's speaking out. It's really scary. You're only seeing fringe media outlets and people who have enough money to speak out and networks and shows like you guys talking about it. But unfortunately, the average American just does not know what is happening right now. They have no idea because they haven't been told what's going on. And how should they? You know, the average person works really hard, and they probably spend only 20 or 30 minutes a day consuming news. And at night, it's just total nonsense. It's not what they should be told.
Now, you've been on a bunch of these big networks, CNN, Fox, and so forth. So, and obviously, you put in a lot of time on this. So just for those who do not know you, what is your main gig? Is investigative journalism, is that what you do?
No, I got my start actually as a personal finance reporter on Wall Street. I'm about as far from an investigative journalist or a muckraker as you can get. And on the side, I run a credit card deals website, which is one of the most popular on the internet. And so I'm doing fine. The problem is that 6 months ago, I started to see these things happening, and I saw the lack of media coverage. And so I sent out, you know, just a mass email to everybody I know in the mainstream media, producers, anchors, everybody in between, and said, this is something you should cover. NDAA is a big deal. This is potential treason. This is probably the biggest story of the past 10 years. And I sort of felt like, okay, my work here is done. The next day it's going to be all over the place. But instead it was total silence. And the only response I got was one reporter emailed me back, and he said, this is very interesting. We'll look into it. And that was it. And it really sent a chill down my spine that these people who you think have Americans' interests at heart don't care at all. You know, the fact that these rights are being signed away, that now Obama, on his word alone, can imprison any American citizen using military force, that he can do that without a trial, without formal charges. It's absolutely ludicrous. That's what separates us from monarchy, where the king can decide that he doesn't like you and it's time for you to go to prison. That's what's supposed to set America apart. I want to read a quote from George Carlin. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late. Americans have abdicated their responsibilities. Government is a process where you know, the people have to be involved. And if they don't stay involved, the absolute worst parts of our society, the extremely wealthy, the extremely lazy, and the extremely biased, they take over. And that's what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with a society where American democracy is being destroyed. And it's intentional, and I'm concerned about it.
Okay. Let me ask you something. So you're late 20s, yes?
Yeah, I'm 26.
Okay, that's fine. Listen, you know, Einstein did some really rewarding work when he was a patent clerk. But these are for your bona fides as well as mine, and the programs. So you're one of the ones that's aware who's out there in the trenches. You're neither a kid nor an experienced adult. So you're definitely in the hot zone. So let me ask you something. What's your take on this? 26-year-old independent journalist who apparently has got, you're getting around and you're having your effect. When you see Bill Clinton had an assistant attorney general named Holder, and you see Bill Clinton still holding the hand of the current president while he goes on a thing with the first lady, and then you see Holder again, and then you have information strongly suggesting that Mr. Holder had knowledge of the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, this is all over the net. And this is from actually credible sources. This isn't like Joe Smith's, no offense to Joe Smith. That's, you know what I mean. These are serious, very serious news concerns who are big enough to get some real flack if somebody decided to launch an accusation of being ingenuous or just flat-out lying, as a world-renowned news anchor was once accused of and fired over it, or left anyway. So The question is, why is anyone not seeing the setup for Oklahoma, the setup for Fast and Furious, the demand for documents, the not getting the documents? This would be a scandal in any other administration. I don't care if it's Holder or Ashcroft. I don't care who it is. I don't care what their political affiliation is. Tell you what, I have talked us all the way into the break. When we come back, yeah, the NDAA is bad. There's some other stuff that's going on simultaneously that isn't good either. Let's get David Seaman's take on that from the up-and-comers' point of view on Coast to Coast AM. You know, is it possible that our media, our mainstream media, has become, in fact, Mexican radio within the context of that Wall of Voodoo song? Is that too much of a stretch? I don't think it is, because they talk and they talk and they talk, and they say the same things. They really do. I know some of them. They can't help it. They have lawyers. I do not. Maybe I should get one. Maybe David Seaman should get one, too. We'll be back with him in just a moment as we ratchet up our hour toward our conversation with Chase Brandon, the CIA man, on Coast to Coast AM. Do stand by. David Seaman, why aren't people absolutely incandescent over this Holder thing, with this Fast and Furious thing, and this blocking of the documents thing, and this executive privilege thing?
The main reason why is that people have just not been told about it, and what little people see on the news, they think that it's some kind of Republican plot to discredit Barack Obama and damage his reelection chances. And they don't realize that this has gone so far beyond Republican versus Democrat, Obama versus Romney, all that stuff. This is a government that is seizing powers. The government has no business taking in the first place, right? Giving guns to criminals in Mexico. We have a system that benefits from crime. And it's really crazy that people would think this isn't a big deal. This is the first attorney general in American history. You know, we have several hundred years of history behind us. The first time in American history that Congress has held an attorney general in contempt, this is a big deal. You have the government rushing so quickly to take over all these powers and to turn us into a totalitarian state, an unconstitutional state, that even Congress is choking up and is saying, wait a second, this is not acceptable. It really is quite scary, because you're supposed to think that the Justice Department is there to enforce the law and there to enforce right versus wrong and fairness and all of that. But it's crazy in America right now. In 2012 America, you can be arrested at any time, even setting aside NDAA, for almost anything. There are so many laws on the books in various states that are actually enforced. If a friend of yours buys a joint and you happen to be in the same room, you could go to jail for decades, and that has actually happened. There was a woman recently in Oklahoma who was sentenced to, I believe, 31 years in prison, and she has kids, for being in a room or for having a hand in a marijuana transaction that was like a $25 transaction. We just have an out-of-control police state, and you're finally seeing Congress, who by no means is the most fair or the most honest body of individuals. They're even saying, wait a second, this government has way too much control. This Justice Department is just insane. Fast and the Furious, if you were to explain it to a person on the street, if you were to explain it in plain terms and setting aside the mainstream media lens that shows that it's some kind of attack on Obama, if you just explain what has actually happened, the average person goes, no, that's not right. And the same with the NDAA. The average person goes, no, you shouldn't be allowed to imprison American citizens on suspicion alone. That's absolute insanity. And no, you shouldn't be allowed to wiretap millions of Americans' phone calls and their emails and their internet traffic, which is what the NSA has done over the past few years, without a warrant, without any kind of approval process.
Yep.
This is all happening, and we have a media that is just no longer the media. You know, when you have somebody like me who applies for a job at one of the big media outlets, they laugh you right out of the room, and I've been there. They don't want anybody who they consider to be a risk, and it's a real tragedy that the people who are doing real journalism these days are considered the liabilities instead of the assets. There are people much better than me, guys like Glenn Greenwald over at Salon, salon.com, who really cannot get on the major news networks, because they're doing real journalism, and they don't want that. They want entertainment reporters. They want nonsense to distract the masses. And if you were to go back, you were to turn the clock back, guys like Walter Cronkite and Woodward and Bernstein, these are guys who did real journalism, who put their necks on the line, and this is the way it's supposed to be. American journalism was always supposed to be this final barrier between tyranny and truth. And what you have right now is just, you don't have any real journalists. I mean, I wish I could say otherwise, but you just don't.
And you said it for years. They haven't made a journal entry in since they were in college. They have not done this, and they call themselves journalists. And how many lawyers are between them and the camera or the microphone?
Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, and I've met with people who used to be pretty powerful in the media, the absolute highest levels imaginable, even above talent. You're talking about top executives at some of the media companies.
And well, let's not forget, though. I don't want to cut you off, David. It's just I want to get a bunch of questions out there, and I want your reaction to them. The Congress and the Senate almost overwhelmingly approved this NDAA. So irrespective of the media's non-coverage of the event, it seems like the game is well underway and we're quite a ways behind because our elected officials signed off on this. Why has this not been addressed by anybody?
This is very true. At least you guys are talking about it. Like I said before the break, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is not something that could happen. This is actually something that already did happen on New Year's Eve, which is the time of the year when the media is operating at its absolute lowest level because most people are on vacation, and those who aren't are covering, you know, the ball dropping at Times Square, total entertainment news. This is when Obama chose to sign the NDAA into law, and both parties were behind it. Both parties were in support of it, supposedly to keep us safe from terrorism, even though we're more than a decade out from 9/11. Even though we've already killed bin Laden and detained or killed all of his important associates, as far as I know. And so we have them acting as if this is the day after 9/11, taking extraordinary powers to revoke our basic rights as American citizens. And this already happened. Like, we're living in a post-NDAA nation right now where you do not have right to a trial. You do not have right to due process. After I do this interview with you, hypothetically, somebody could just break down my door and take me away. And that's not going to happen. That's definitely not going to happen. But the fact that it could happen, the fact that it's on the books, that should terrify every American because that chills free speech. When you know the government can take you away at any time for any reason, guess what? That's what China has. That's what North Korea has. That's absolute ludicrous totalitarian. It's just nonsense, and it's real. Any of your listeners can just Google NDAA and read the text of the bill, the indefinite detention provision, section 1021. It's in there. It's unambiguous. It's worded in a way that anybody can understand. The U.S. government has the right to detain you on suspicion alone if they consider you a threat. And although I'm very much gung-ho about fighting the war on terror and going after those people who mean to do us harm, I'm 100% for that. I'm not for what the NDAA enables.
Do you think it's too much of a
bill designed to be abused?
Right. Well, absolutely, positively. Do you subscribe to the feeling that if they have the provision to use it, they eventually will? And since you're an independent reporter, journalist, you said you're not an investigative journalist, but you're certainly the most proper kind of investigative journalist because you're investigating things that the mainstream media is not reporting. Have you taken steps to ensure that if someone does kick your door in, that somebody finds out about this?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken some steps. I don't really want to get into the details.
Good, that's enough.
In the end, you don't have much power. But
that's right.
It's just really quite terrifying when you think about it. And this is what everybody should be talking about right now. Absolutely everybody. This is something that needs to be reversed like yesterday. It's something that should not be on the books. It's so scary. And you look at other things that have been passed by Congress in the past. Let's take prohibition, for example, just because that's, you know, very much behind us and well documented. they passed prohibition, and then it's not as if the government was like, okay, we passed this thing, but now we're just going to let people drink anyways. We're not going to actually pursue it. We're not going to enforce it. That's not what happened at all. It was heavily enforced. Thousands of people went to prison for distributing or drinking alcohol. And there were even thousands of people who died as a result because there was a government program to poison alcohol in order to discourage people from drinking. These are very bad ideas, and it was enabled by bad law. And more recently, you have the Patriot Act, which originally was supposed to be only used on the absolute worst potential threats to America. We're talking about serious terrorists. And instead, over the past 10 years, it's been used on drug dealers, on tax evaders, on all kinds of people who have absolutely nothing to do with harming America. And it's just scary. I know NDAA is going to be misused because when you draft a bill that's that vague and is that dangerous, it is misused. That's what happens. You give somebody extraordinary power, they tend to use that extraordinary power.
All right, then. So that was Lindsey and McCain that got the NDAA rolling.
Right. Lindsey Graham, a Republican, supported it very heavily. The actual indefinite detention provisions, in other words, imprisonment without trial of American citizens, that section was drafted by John McCain, a Republican, and Carl Levin, a Democrat. So it was definitely bipartisan. This was done behind closed doors. This was not something that Americans asked for. We were not like, you know what? You know what's really bothering us right now? The government should be able to take away Americans without a trial. That's what we need to see. That's totally ridiculous. Nobody asked for that. I think people are saying, you know, you need to get the economy back on the right track. You need to address the job issue. You need to get us out of Iraq and Afghanistan eventually. You need to balance the budget. This is what Americans wanted. And instead, behind closed doors, they drafted the NDAA's indefinite detention provisions. And they did it in the most dishonest way possible, because the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, is typically passed every single year. It's just how we fund the military. And in this year's NDAA, the 2012 NDAA, it contains these crazy provisions that have no business being in there. And nobody in Congress can say, we didn't know what was in there, because there was actually an amendment which would have struck that provision and kept the rest of it intact, right? And they voted against that amendment. So they know what's in there. They didn't consider it to be a problem because they, in fact, supported it. And that absolutely chills me to the core. And anybody else who knows about this is worried about it. It's not what our members of Congress should be focused on, to say the least.
What's going on with your friends as far as any political activities on campuses that they may be on?
Well, you know, I don't protest myself. I think it kind of...
No. I mean, what sort of political activities? What's being pushed on the college campuses of the friends that you know who are still in school?
Very, very little. You have some younger people who've been caught up in the whole Occupy whirlwind of villainizing wealthy people and villainizing those who have more. And that's really not what America's all about. You know, when I hear somebody say, you know, you're a 99%er or you're a 1%er, it's like, don't tell me what I am based on my income over the past year. You know, income fluctuates. What doesn't fluctuate is being an American citizen and having certain rights that are inalienable. You've seen a lot of people who are unhappy about what's happening. They're unhappy about the seizure of our rights, unhappy about how poorly the economy has been managed, that 40% loss of wealth since 2007 for the average American household. But instead of doing the right thing, instead of speaking out against increased government power, and the attack on our civil rights and the attack on the Constitution itself, instead of speaking out against those things, they're all about what's in it for me. You know, I'm going to become an occupier. I want my college loans to be repaid by the government. I want this. I want that. And it's really not, this is not a battle of the haves versus the have-nots. This is not what's going on. This is a battle of government tyranny versus everyone else. I've spoken to a lot of wealthy people who are terrified by what the government is doing, and I've spoken to some less well-off people who are also worried about it. And I think the wealthy in this country know that historically, when you have the government, you know, turn away from republic and democracy and turn toward tyranny, the first people they go after are the powerful and the wealthy, time and time again. So if you think that wealthy people are just, you know, sitting back and letting things happen, that's definitely not what's happening. There are a lot of people speaking out. And I just hope that people don't fall into that trap of villainizing wealthy people, because it's not how much money you have. It's really an attack on our constitutional rights. As a matter of fact, everybody, regardless of how much money you have.
You know, I think it's I think you're totally correct, but I think it's ever so much bigger than that. Because it's clear to me, back in the old days, when people were really just not so subjected to crime in every form imaginable, idiots would try and do check-kiting schemes. You give me some cash, I'll write you a check. And then, of course, they make these check deposits into multiple bank accounts, hoping that those deposits get in there and are posted in time to clear the incoming hot check. Of course, it doesn't work. And that's precisely what has happened with the entire world. We are, in fact, playing economy rotation. And notice that no matter what happens in the world or to the world, the very wealthiest, the power holders, the ones who move the chess pieces that we see at the Bilderberg conventions, they just go right on. Their families go right on. It doesn't matter. And in the end, I believe that this is all about money. Do you have any idea that maybe this, because of the internet and various awareness-raising mechanisms that we now have access to, do you think maybe those in power feel that their whole house of cards is about to be exposed and will trigger some sort of social, unpleasantness, backlash of some sort, and then they'll quell all of this with their recently deployed ridiculous quantums of various federal agencies, surveillance equipment, drones and all that? Do you think that they're about to, repel the people marching to the castle now with their pitchforks and torches because they're all about to be ratted out and they're getting ready to defend themselves? Do you see any of that?
Oh, they definitely won't be successful. The great thing about the internet is that the average, well, I don't want to say average because there's nothing average about you and I. The masses, the vast majority of people, no longer need ABC News or CBS News to tell them what's important. Through things like social media, whatever's the most important just kind of rises to the top, and it gets out there. Millions of people find out about it in a matter of hours, whether that be an injustice or a natural disaster or anything else. The internet is like this global nervous system that tells people what's going on. And so we no longer need mainstream media to filter things for us. We can filter it ourselves. So there's the communication aspect of the internet. Then there's also the financial aspect, where things that used to take months to sort of percolate through the system now happen in a matter of seconds. You saw that flash crash back in May of last year in the stock market. And if something happens in Europe, markets in New York react to it within a matter of seconds. And you also have the issue of, we don't need big banks anymore. If you have a great idea and a bank isn't willing to loan you the money necessary to make that happen, you can just crowdfund it. Instead of taking $100,000 from one bank, you can take $10 from thousands of contributors. And we've seen that happen. The website Kickstarter is raising hundreds of millions of dollars every year for individual contributors. People are willing to put their money where their mouths are. So I think the internet does present a challenge for establishment powers, but I would be reluctant to say that the wealthy are plotting some kind of, some kind of power grab, because in reality, there is no just the wealthy. You know, the people who are not at the absolute top but are still very well off, those are the people who stand to lose the most.
Well, there you go. David, we're out of time. Thank you very much. We're going to have you back on the program soon. Just check your six and keep on looking. I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations, which dare already to challenge our government to a trial of strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. This is Coast to Coast AM.